Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are back in the studio with Adriana, alias D, and Laura, Tori, Miss Tara, and myself, Sandy. And we are in Philippians 1 through 11. And we are going to have D read the passage, and then we'll pick up with all of our verses to discuss.
Okay. Philippians 1 through 11. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus to the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God in all my remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine for you all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from this first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began the good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense of and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God.
Amen. Oh, that's so beautiful. I just love God's word. The passage we're going to start off with is we're now at verse 6, and it says, I am sure this, he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And I want us to talk through why this phrase, he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion, would give Paul confidence and assurance, and why would he see it necessary to give that to the people of Philippi?
I think part of it goes to back to how he was remembering them, but we also have to remember God, and just to remember the depths of his faithfulness, and just how he can have confidence in Christ because in God, because he knows that he will carry this out, and he knows because of who God is in his faithfulness.
That's good.
Yeah, it almost makes you think, like verse 6, being confident of this, like he's almost kind of like, not really bragging about them, but he's like so sure it's going to happen. Like he has pride in them, and like that God's going to do this. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, God's going to figure this out for you, and you're going to walk with him because God is faithful. And honestly, kind of, I don't know if this really correlates, but it reminds me a bit of Jeremiah 9 about boasting in the Lord that you know me, and the confidence is in the Lord. And actually, I might even turn there because I think it's really good. But yeah, it's I think it's Jeremiah 9, 24 maybe, but yeah, let's see. Yeah, 23 and 24. This is what the Lord says: let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for in these I delight. I think it's cool that Paul is so confident in the Lord that like he's boasting that you guys know him, and that's why I'm confident, because God is faithful. And even at the end, what is it, verse just read, verse 1, I think it's, verse 9, you know, I pray that your love may abound more and more in your knowledge and depth of insight. That even his prayer for them is like, I want you to know God more and more. And it's kind of cool that he's confident in a kind of proud way, but not in a sinful way, but like, God's good, and you're my baby is kind of my mindset.
Yeah, he's encouraging them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, we need encouragement. When times get tough, that encouragement from other people and Paul's encouraging them.
Like for me, this verse has been really impactful in my life just because if you're a Christian for any extended period of time, you will reach a point where it seems like God is just working quietly in your life. And he's not changing you in huge vocal, like, oh my goodness, God just convicted me of this huge area of sin in my life and I need to change my entire life and it's going to look totally different tomorrow. You get to a point where that doesn't happen, and it's where God's doing all of the small things in your life, and it can be really, really depressing and discouraging because you're just like, okay, come back. Where are you? What are you doing? I can't see what you're doing now. And just to have this verse that where God is promising that, or like Paul tells them that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus, because, I mean, there's just so much loathing of the sin in your life, and just to know that God has not and will not forget you, and that he will complete what he has begun, and that he is faithful in that way, and that he's not just going to be like, okay, you've screwed up this many times, you know what, I'm done, you can stay there, have fun. That he just doesn't do that, and it's just really, really encouraging that way.
Yeah, I think, you know, you said that was true, the remembrance thing.
Yeah.
On he will complete us. Remember, you're not done yet. We're not done with you. You know, we're just a work in progress.
I just hope.
Yeah.
It just stirs hope. Yeah, it's nice. Remembering that God is working in us. God's going to complete in us. And Dee, you brought this up, I think, at the last show, the radio recording, that it's about God's initiative, that it's God at work in us. And but the commentator said we have to understand and recognize that, yes, that God is faithful in doing the completion of his work, but at the same time, we have a responsibility to be in pursuit of God. And so recognizing that he's responsible for his part, but we're also responsible for our part. And that comes into having the heart of obedience that is, you know, willing to grow in and know the things of God. And that's the reason why Paul then does pray that you would be approved in what you know, and recognizing that it's critical. I had two verses I wanted us to look up. So Tori, would you look up Romans 8:29, and Laura, would you look up Ephesians 4:13-14? And both of these kind of are good affirmations that support what we're talking about right here. Go ahead, Tori, if you have it.
Romans 8:29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers.
Okay, the key that God's completion, his completion, actually is the summation of what we talked about in the first show from verse 1 and 2, and that it's in Christ, through Christ, from the Father, that the Father's the source and that Jesus is the one that gives it to us, that he's conforming us into the image of Christ. And so recognizing that that's what the goal is in that completed work. It's to be like Jesus. Okay, go ahead.
Ephesians 4:13-14. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and becoming mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming.
I love this. Okay, so remember how we talked about Paul's desiring for unity to occur? And he's, and we'll see in a minute that he wants the knowledge, but it's about maturity and the whole measure of what we have in Christ. And I don't remember which commentator I read this in. Hold on, no, wait, it wasn't a commentator. It was Matt Chandler. I was listening to a sermon that he had on Philippians, and he said, if you want to read a book and understand about spiritual maturity, read Philippians from the heart of Paul towards the people of Philippi, and you will see a heart towards spiritual maturity of what it should look like and how we love people. And if you think on it, this passage in Ephesians is telling us it's about that unity, that maturity, and that whole measure of what we get when we're in Christ and allowing his full measure to come up and pour out of us. And I was like, wow, that's just beautiful. I'm excited that I remember that about Matt Chandler. That's like, wow. And so when Christ returns, we'll receive the ultimate act of transformation that's going to occur inside us, recognizing that the fullness is the glorification, the process of glorification. So you have your salvation moment, your justification that occurs at the believing in Christ, and then our lifetime is that sanctification that occurs of him making us holy, being the saints set apart, and ever-increasing glory occurring until the day he gets us into eternity, and then the glorification will happen as that ultimate transformation and seeing that occur.
Yep.
I wish we could see that visually.
I know.
You know, like, it would be so awesome to see, like, okay, you know how you have the little charts that's like, okay, oh, well, look, Tara's about right here, but, you know, at some point she's going to be, you could even see on Radio Land, my fingers way up high in the sky. You know, and so recognize that gift that he gives us in that. Did you guys have anything else you wanted to say on this section? That he's completed the good work?
I think a prayer for myself is I want that kind of faith that Paul had. I mean, the trust that he had in God made him pray, gave him joy. And it's like, for me personally, it's like, I think I forget that. Like, I know it's true. Yeah, God, you're faithful. You complete it. I can be confident, but my life doesn't always look like it. And I think that's why I'm not always joyful, or, you know, I don't always have this sense of peace and grace, because I don't trust that God is, I know he can, but I don't really live like he can. And it's cool to see that Paul was that trustful of God.
Yeah, you know, Greg and I were talking about that because I have something I'm, like, in the middle of, I have to process, that's pretty big. And he was saying, you know, Tara, God's sovereign, and God is, you know, got a plan. And I'm like, Greg, I know those things. In fact, I don't doubt those things. I have joy in those things. But I also know that as life, suffering, tribulation, trial happens, people will have to struggle. And so I can have peace, and I can actually have joy and in confidence of God, but still have a sadness in my heart because of the journey and the process that's going to be. And recognizing that that's part of it, is that we can have a sadness because somebody's going to have to hurt in order to get to the place that, you know, they have to get through as they go through the suffering or the trial or whatever. But actually, that is one I'm struggling through working processing in my heart right now. Hope that makes sense.
Yep.
That makes sense. Okay. Well, then let's go to the next verse because we won't have much time. Okay. So verse 7, Dee, why don't you read that one for us?
Okay. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel.
So my question, which I kind of almost said something about it just now, is like, how do trials reveal our heart? I can almost not say that without starting to cry.
Well, trials just push us closer to God or further away from God, depending on how we choose to react to them. And so, like, it's, in essence, it's the only time that we can actually see where our hearts are at, because if we're in a good time and all that, like, then we can rely on ourselves and we don't have to rely on God. And so, yeah, we just don't get an accurate gauge of where we are.
Well, and I think it was Spurgeon who said, God whispers in the good times and shouts in the bad. And I like that because, I mean, you know, James 1, you consider it pure joy whenever you face trials, you know, of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And then talks on that perseverance must be completed, so mature and complete. In the maturity part of trials, God uses that. You know, God doesn't waste anything. And part of Paul's confidence, I think, is that, yeah, part of growing is means suffering, you know, and that will make you mature if you persevere through it. So, yeah, like Dee said, you know, it kind of depends on how we take on trials. It can make or break us. And if we trust God and persevere, we will come out more mature.
Yeah, that fullness, the full measure that he's talking about in Ephesians that we read, that's good. Very good. What do you guys think,
Laura? I think also, like, with that, with dealing with things and with learning and growing through trials, I think there's also a point of us having to understand that we can be okay with God, and yes, we can have joy in God, kind of with what Tara was saying a little bit, but, like, there's also an aspect of grieving that I think is just a very important thing to be able to do, and to be able to understand that it's okay to not always have everything together, and to not always feel like, oh, yes, this is all perfect, and God's got it, so I don't have to worry about it. But it's just amazing to see, like, that we can be broken before him, but yet still have joy, and still grieve, but still have hope and have grace and have peace. And I think it's such an interesting dance, but it's so beautiful. And I've just especially have experienced this in the last couple of weeks, just dealing with a couple different things. And so I've just been able to learn just this truth behind that.
Yeah. It's really... Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
That too. Or going back to, don't have the actual address memorized, but Lord, make my gladness in proportion to my misery is the translation that I have it memorized in. You had it in a different saying than mine. Do you remember?
It was in Psalms. Yeah, I don't remember. I think it made my joy be proportioned to my
sadness. Misery. Misery. I think it was right. Misery was yeah. the word. So mine was my misery, my gladness in proportion to my misery. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, the emotions always match that. So if you can cry hard, you're going to laugh hard. If you can mm-hmm. laugh hard, you're going to cry hard. It's just part of the beauty right. of expression. Mm-hmm. So verse 8 says, "For God is my witness how deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Jesus Christ." Mm. And oh my goodness, that is so true. Like, I can't even begin to tell you how I have that like missing my grace people, like that it cracked me up. I was like, oh my goodness, God, what am I going to do when they graduate? yeah, it's like I have two and now he's given me, what, 300 that I get to do. But recognizing that affection is not man-given.
Right.
Mm. It cannot come from me. It cannot come from you. That it is something that is birthed because of Christ in us and that he is love. And when love dwells in us and we allow through our lives the purity of that love to be made known, that love will well over in affection for those that we serve because of Christ in us. And this is really funny. I didn't write the Greek word down, but it's literally from the deepest most point of your bowels. Literally. So you know how when your gut just kind of thing? That is where this love comes from. That point of the gut up is the description of where it comes from. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Right. Okay, so let's take verse 9 then. And I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and in every kind of discernment. And we have 1 minute to sum this up. So guys, what do you have to say about that? And growing in love and knowledge and in discernment. 45 seconds.
Man, I think it just says that we need to pray for that. If that was Paul's, this is my prayer for you, you know, go. Mm-hmm. It's that you mature and grow in Christ.
Yeah.
That's really important.
And also, like, that's going to reveal and glorify and praise him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. See? Nothing? Okay. Nothing. Okay, so love that is based in knowledge it's based on the actual word of God, the scriptures, the wisdom of mm-hmm. practical living. Yeah. That which is from discernment is the idea of testing and proving what you have learned from that and living it out. So that gives you kind of like a deeper understanding. And so his hunger is that it's not just something that you know, but literally it is lived out so that you are walking in it. May God honor the study of Philippians. God bless.